الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا صدق الله العظيم.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the seal of prophethood, the greatest man to walk the face of this earth, none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the tafsir of the Holy Quran, sitting in the sanctity of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the previous lessons, we had spoke with regards to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us that have been mentioned in Surah Al-A'la. And in the last lesson, we had touched upon the concept of naskh, the abrogation of verses and rulings. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. That verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows al-jahr, that which is open, that which is apparent, that which one manifests, that which we allow people to know. That side of us that we show, the things that we show, وَمَا يَخْفَى, and that which is hidden. The things that are not apparent to the eyes, the information that is not known to the public, those thoughts that cross our minds, that cross our hearts, the whispers of shayateen that manage to make their way through our spiritual defenses, that lead us to think about sin and to think about evil and vices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of this. The scholars of tafsir have given various different opinions with regards to the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this and the possible meanings behind it. Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullah simply says, as I have said, the things that people hide and the things that they show. Hazrat Mullah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Nawarullahu Manqadahu writes, and he connects this verse with the previous verses. And Hazrat Tanwi says, rahimahullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating towards the wisdom behind making Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remember the Quran and making Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam forget يعني, the abrogation and the nasq of certain verses. So that question might come, that, oh, why were these verses abrogated? Why were they taken out of the Quran? So the answer is, Allahu ya'lamu al-jahra wa ma yakhfa. Some with the wisdom behind certain things are unknown. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to His wisdom, He does. And He does as He likes. And Allah is all wise. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it to be best, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept those verses. And those verses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew to be suitable to abrogate and to remove and make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forget, those were made mansukh and they were forgotten. Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahimahullah in these verses indicates that the one possible meaning is towards the tarbiyah, the nurturing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the indication is that the same way hitherto we have done your tarbiyah and we have nurtured you, likewise there is no need for you to worry. We will nurture you to the completion of the Quran and to the completion of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on, Qadi Sanaullah rahimahullah writes that ya'lamu al-jahr, the things that were apparent relate to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desperately repeating the verses. And wama yakhfa, that which is hidden was the worry of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart that I am going to forget these verses. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى, and we will facilitate for you. يَسَّرَ يُيَسِّرُ تَيْسِيرًا, means to make something easy. So the literal translation of this is, we will make you easy for yusra, for the easy way. This is the female أفعل التفضيل يسرى, and for the easy, so it takes the meaning of the easiest way. So we will facilitate for you to reach the easiest way, is how some ulama have translated this verse. Now, Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimullah and Imam Tabari rahimullah, they both indicate that the meaning of this verse is that we will make good things, the good a'mal, a'mali saliha, we will make them easy for you, and we will make sharia, our way, the way of Islam, the way of the sunnah, easy. Facilitative, straight, with full of justice. There's no corruption, there's no inconsistencies like we have in the laws of this world. The man-made laws, the laws of this world, they are created to make things easy for certain groups and to make things difficult for certain groups. Whereas the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed and Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam had shown us through his blessed life is such a way that if the entire world was to come upon Islam, this would be the answer to world peace. There would be ease and there would be comfort and there would be justice. There would be no corruption, no prejudice in this dunya. That's why in many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this as being the easy way. Because in sharia there is ease in every single circumstance. And one example I'm going to give in this situation is that look, we see, we go through difficulties. We go through difficulties. Family members pass away. Family members fall ill. And sometimes such tragedies happen that are completely unexpected, completely unprecedented, and a complete shock to the system. For Muslims, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we have a very, very easy way out. The moment we hear the news, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Straight away we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Our iman tells us that everything that happens, happens with the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our iman, our deen, our sharia, our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructs us to have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have love, to have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter what happens to us, no matter what tragedy comes to us, we can deal with it because we have Islam and we have iman. And this is what helps us through these difficult times. Whereas for the people who have not been blessed with the bounty and the blessing of iman, life can become very difficult for them. We find this happens so often that when the non-Muslims, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them and keep us upon the guidance as well, they go through difficulties, they tend to incline towards drugs, towards alcohol, and various other vices, which leads them often to become bankrupt. It leads to a person losing his family. It leads to a person ending up in prison, ending up dead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Whereas when we have the way of deen, the way of Islam, then everything becomes easy for us. We look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we see all the difficulties that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. It is of utmost importance. It is farz, I would say, for us to study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without Huzur alayhi salam, who are we? We are nothing and we are nobody. We should study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's an answer for every problem in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we have the way of Sharia, when we have Islam and we have Iman, then everything becomes easy for us because our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes stronger and stronger. And suddenly the way we see things in life, it changes. That no matter what happens, you know, we lose a close family member, relative, young. Bas, Ya Allah, he belonged to you. You took him when you wanted to. I trust you, Ya Allah. I love you, Ya Allah. And it was your decision. I'm happy with your decision. Such, this is the intoxication of iman. That person, no matter what, someone else would look as the bagale at me. He's lost his brother, he's lost his family member, and he's okay. He's walking around, he's eating, he's drinking, he's strong. Someone they cannot comprehend what is happening. But the power of iman is running through a person's veins, is running in his blood. Nothing can rock this person. We look at the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi ajma'in. For the sake of iman, the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations, if you look at Azra Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he's being tortured through the streets of Makkah, yet the name of Allah remains on his lips. Other people cannot comprehend, it's the power of iman that gave these people who are physically weak, from a social status they were weak, from a monetary perspective they were weak, yet the iman was strong, and it was the iman that got them through that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from His close servants and bless us with His proximity and the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qadi Sanawullah rahimullah connects the previous verses with this verse that the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about forgetting the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying that we will make you read and you will not forget. So also, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى refers to, because sharia and ease is the Qur'an. The Qur'an describes and prescribes what is in sharia for us. So likewise, there's an indication within this that we will make the Qur'an, the memorization of the Qur'an, easy for you as well. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Nawwarullahu Marqadahu writes a very beautiful thing. And Hazrat Mufti Azam Nawwarullahu Marqadahu says that in this verse, it should have been, وَنُيَسِّرُ الْيُسْرَى لَكْ. We will make the path of ease easy for you. However, linguistically, the translation would be, and we made you easy for the Sharia. And the elucidation here is that we will make the matter such that Sharia will become you, and you will become the Sharia. Ma'aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in one very famous hadith, was asked with regards to the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our respected mother, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, responded, "The ataqra'u al-Qur'an?" "The have you read the Qur'an?" The response was, "Yes, I have read the Qur'an." So Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, "Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an." The character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Qur'an. Read the Qur'an and you'll understand and you'll recognize Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes and open our hearts to the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. So remind people, so extend advice to people. إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. If advice is useful. This is the translation according to one of the interpretations of the verses. Imam Tabari rahimahullah says, فَذَكِّرْ, to remind. What should we remind people of? What has Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam been commanded to remind people of? Imam Tabari rahimahullah says that to remind them of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, and number two, the severity of his punishment. So two things. The how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, so we feel inclined and towards Islam, and also to instill the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reminding people of the severity of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Tabari rahimahullah further goes on and says, إِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. If a reminder is beneficial for them. So what does this mean? Because reminders are always beneficial. So Imam Tabari rahimahullah writes that this second part was an indication towards those people with regards to whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been informed that they are not going to accept Islam ever. So this was an indication to them that inna fa'ati dhikra, meaning that if a reminder is going to be beneficial, so for the people who are never going to accept Islam, the reminder is not going to be beneficial for them because they're not going to take benefit from that reminder. So there's no need for you to remind them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So another opinion with regards to this, because this question rises, that does this mean, just as I said now, does this mean that if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt that this person's never going to listen, does that mean Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by extension the Sahaba until today, does this mean that if we feel that this person's not going to listen, why should I advise him? So other ulama are of the opinion that no, actually, this sentence is not a jumla shartiya, meaning this is not a conditional sentence. The sentence, and to give an example, it's like when you say to an individual that if you are a human, then you will respect people. So this is not a conditional sentence. What I'm trying to say is, you're a human, so respect people. So what the verse is trying to say is, remind people because reminders benefit people. Not that if reminders and that there's a chance, because reminders are always beneficial. And the reason why reminders are always beneficial is because even if you have nobody to listen to, then a reminder can help your own self. A reminder will bring you reward. In the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it meant that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had fulfilled his mission and he had completed the task assigned to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimullah takes a completely different stance on this verse. Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimullah says that this is actually with regards to teaching. Teaching and preaching the knowledge of Islam, that we should only preach certain types of knowledge to the people to whom it is suitable. So for example, if I was to sit here and let's say I am sat in a class of 5-year-old children, and I take Bukhari Sharif out and I start reciting a hadith to them, they're just going to run away. So this is not appropriate because I'm teaching the wrong types. Now if I was to get the qaida out, alif, ba, ta, and I was to teach them, then that's correct because I'm teaching the right knowledge to the right people. Likewise, this can be extended I've given a very oversimplified example here, but it can be extended that we should give the right knowledge to the people for whom this type of knowledge will be beneficial. And Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimahullah takes a quotation. It's a two-part quotation. Part of this quotation is from Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala an. And time and again we remind ourselves that we are indebted to all of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. However, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala an has and should have a very special place in our hearts. Because those who follow the Hanafi madhab, most of our knowledge comes from Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, which is known as the golden chain in fiqh. Most of the Hanafi knowledge comes from Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an. He was a sahabi from the Muhajirin. He spent much of his life in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence the strength of and depth of the Hanafi madhab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve the ummah upon the correct path and all of the four madahib. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala who says that مَا أَنْتَ بِمُحَدِّثٍ قَوْمًا حَدِيثًا لَا تَبْلُغْهُ قُولُهُمْ إِلَّا كَانَ لِبَعْضِهِمْ فِتْنَةً. That if you were to preach some knowledge to a nation who does not understand or who have not understood that knowledge correctly, then that can become a source of fitna and corruption for them. And sometimes what happens, there are certain masail, there are certain rulings in Islam. Now if we were to explain to the general public, then because there certain rulings have a lot of depth and can be quite intricate, and certain things are only permissible under certain circumstances, but not everyone might understand this, or people, the possibility of misinterpretation is high, then what can end up happening is that people will do things incorrectly, thinking that this is what the Imam Sahib said today. So what's important is that we explain things properly and we ensure that the people we are explaining these rulings to have the capacity, the intellectual capacity to fathom and to grasp these concepts correctly, so that their amal and the way they behave and their behaviors and the way they act is in conformance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu said, حدث الناس بما يعرفون أتحبون أن يكذب الله ورسوله. هذا علي كرم الله وجهه said that tell people those things that they understand. Would you like it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are accused of lies? No, of course not. So likewise, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimullah has taken this stance on this verse. Allama Ibn al-Jawzi rahimullah says, actually the in over here, so the translation of in English is if, is not the meaning of if, it's in the meaning of most definitely, yani laqad, most definitely. So what he means is that, so remind people, most definitely reminders will benefit people. And this is permissible in the Arabic language. Sometimes certain words are used. Generally, they'll have the meaning of one, but in certain situations, they can have a different meaning as well. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Qadhi Sanaullah rahimahullah writes, the meaning of this verse is, after advising a nation so much, and they continue to not listen, then it is not, you shouldn't feel demoralized and feel upset. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِجَبَّابٍ. You are not an enforcer upon them. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Okay, it wasn't Rasulullah, the guidance was not in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. So many verses explain that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's role was to preach. If people accepted, that was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he didn't accept, it was not a defect. It didn't come against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, there were anbiya of the past, that not a single person from there, he says in one hadith that some prophets will come on the day of Qiyamah, that not a single ummati will have accepted their deen, but that it will not decrease their rank at all, because their job is simply to preach. Allah's job is to guide. It's in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah would sometimes feel upset that, you know, these people aren't listening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving contentment to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَيَذَّكَّرُوا مَنْ يَكْشَى. Soon the one who fears Allah will observe this advice. Of course, a person who has taqwa in his heart, a person who has fear in his heart, a person who is genuine about Allah and his Rasul and his deen, when a reminder is said to him, when he is told that you are doing this incorrectly, or he is admonished, then he tends to listen. Oh, because he's genuinely worried. He has no pride. He's, no, I need to listen. Yeah? And he opens his eyes. Oh, jazakallah for telling me that. And I won't do that in the future. Because he has genuine worry and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. And if a person has fear in his heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is being told that whatever you're doing is going to make Allah angry, then straight away he'll move away. So سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَكْشَى. The person who has the fear of Allah, he will heed the advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. The advice will be avoided by the most wretched one. Who is the most wretched one? A couple of opinions. One opinion is that disbelievers in general. And number two, it could be regarding certain disbelievers enemies of Islam at the time. For example, Walid bin Mughira and Utbah bin Rabi'a. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِي يَصْلَ النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. The ones who will enter the big fire. Big fire is the fire of Jahannam. And in opposition to that, the small fire is the fire of the dunya. This is what Allama Mahalli rahimullah written in Jalalin Sharif. Qadhi Sanaullah writes, the big fire could be the lowest part of Jahannam. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. In Jahannam, in Jannah, the higher you go, the better it is. And in Jahannam, the lower you go, the worse it is. So it could be the lowest part of Jahannam. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. And then there will be no death. They will not die in Jahannam, nor will they live. Now, one possibility of this is that if there was a tradition amongst the Arabs that when they were wanted to describe the severity and the desperation of an individual situation, they would see that لا هو حي ولا هو ميت. This person is in such a bad state, he's not even dead, he's not even alive. Meaning that he's neither here nor there. And as in, he has a life, but it's not worth living. That's how bad this person's situation is. So this will be the situation of the Jahannami. Because what happens is that generally death is seen as a bad thing. Now, sometimes what happens is a person is going through so much torture and so much punishment that death can be a blessing for them. Because death means that this pain that they are experiencing is finished. And we see it sometimes, inshallah we don't see it, may Allah protect us, Sometimes it happens that a person's been tortured so much, or the person's going through so much difficulty, he's like, I wish I could just die now, because I want to get out of this pain. So for that individual, death is a gift, because it stops the pain. In Jahannam, there will be no death. So we mentioned before in the previous, that the people of Jahannam, they will be going through difficulty, they will be tortured, the snakes attacking them, they'll be burning, their heads will be crushed, the intestines will be ripped out, so many different types of punishments. And they will call out to Malik. It says in the Quran, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكَ. They will call out, O Malik, لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. Can you tell your Lord to make a decision? Like, yani, to finish us off now. And just get it done with. So, according to some Mufassireen, Malik will be looking down. And the people will be calling out to him. And he, after a while, he will raise his head. And some Mufassireen say that the gap between the people calling Malik, who is the main archangel of Jahannam, and Malik raising his head will be 1,000 years. 1,000 years, not of this dunya, 1,000 years of the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day in the akhirah is 1,000 years of this world. 1,000 years of the akhirah, do the math. And then what will he say when he looks up? Will he say that, okay, chalo, it's been a long time, let's reduce? No, Malik will say, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. You are staying where you are. Imagine that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from Jahannam. So there'll be no death in Jahannam. وَلَا يَحْيَا. There'll be no life. What does this mean? That the question is here, that life, there will be life, they will be living in Jahannam. So the answer is, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimullah writes, that التي فيه فائدة, there'll be the kind of life worth living is a life which has benefit, which you are enjoying, which you have some sort of benefit from. But this life, what kind of life is this? You've been tortured every single day. This is no life. So that's not what you call life. So this is what he means by لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. Time has gone over. Wish we could carry on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we end here and we'll continue next week inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who will enter into Jannah without any hisab, without any kitab, without any difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with a death upon iman and what is known as husnul khatima, a death upon iman with the kalima on our lips and iman in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the angels of Jannah, and inshallah next week we'll mention with regards to the angel of death how he appears to a good person and how he appears to a bad person. We'll mention this inshallah in the next dars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with shahada, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with death in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being buried at the blessed feet of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those to whom the angel will say, Ya ayyatuha an-nafsu al-mutma'innah, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Ameen, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the love and the true understanding of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from ashabul Quran. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.